Welcome to the Best Player Wins podcast. I have no message. If someone spits in your face, do what comes natural. This is not any of our rotated or normal rotating hosts. You probably know me from the baseball podcast that I'm sure everybody in this football league listens to, because we have a dozen listeners on that one. But this is a surprise episode. And we wanted to do this episode because Black Friday is nearly upon us. And with so many discounts just waiting to be had, it would be really nice to have some extra cash in hand. So, I brought JC onto the podcast to give us his locks for this upcoming week so we can all make some more money. Welcome to the podcast, JC, and not to put any extra pressure on you, but you know, Black Friday, Amazon, for instance, their deal started today. We are recording this on the 20th, as has a lot of retail stores. So I've already done some of my purchasing, so I am counting on you to get me out of this new credit card debt that I find myself in.
Yeah, good to be here. Jake texted me last night at like 9 p.m. and was like, you want to do a random pod tomorrow? On the books, I was like, yeah, let's do it. I told him I had to hit the lab, and that's what I did. Jordan's lab. He let me hit it. If you know, you know.
Yeah, so this is not going to be your typical episode. We are going to discuss exactly zero fantasy football. We are not going to go over any of the trades that have been made. We will let the normal hosts handle that. JC is just going to give us his locks for this upcoming week. And we are going to... He's going to tell us who he likes as far as the week goes, and I think he might also have some futures for us at the end. But just before we get started, just so I know that I'm in the clear here, JC, did you have anything to do with the NBA game-fixing scandal?
I personally did not, but I might know a few players that have.
Have you been arrested?
No, I'm not Rashee Rice.
No? Indicted? Perhaps in this?
No, I don't think so. Not yet.
Okay, so we're in the clear. So let's go. Let's get started here. Give us your... Let's go. Let's start with your game of the week, your line of the week. We'll start off easy. We'll ease in. What's your favorite for this upcoming week? Give us a line.
Game of the week for me, I actually could not write anything down for it. It was Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, with the Eagles with a -4 line and a 51-point over and under. And I'm only a little bit hesitant because the Cowboys last game, I felt like they were fuming a bit. So I didn't really put anything on that line. And to me, that made a sign that maybe that's going to be the game of the week.
So you do not have a side in this one. So you're saying the game of the week is to completely avoid that game.
Yeah. I think the Cowboys could sneak one, but I would rather bet on the Eagles, so I would stay away from it. But I think it's going to be fun to watch, especially with George Pickens out there.
Yeah, I heard that him and CeeDee Lamb are like drinking buddies now, and that's why they got suspended for the first drive.
They have a game. Cool handshake and everything now, and all I hear on 93.7 The Fan every morning is... about George Pickens.
Yeah, you hate to see it. What is your... Let's just keep going. Whatever you have next on your sheet.
So since it's Thursday, I think it's pretty hard to put the Bills behind the Texans. So I would take Bills money line at -290. The spread for them is -3.5. So if you're feeling risky, you can go. I don't know what it is. I think it's the Houston Texans defense that makes me hesitant. But Josh Allen also rushing for like 20 touchdowns makes it pretty hard. Following up with that into Sunday, liking the Colts +3.5 against the Chiefs. Total line on that or over under is 50.5. I don't think I trust that. I'd probably take the under. And then rolling into America's favorite team right now, New England Pats versus Cincinnati Bengals. They have the Bengals covering +7. I don't think that's anywhere going to be close. And then another one that I didn't have, just because the line is actually crazy for this, is the Seattle Seahawks and the Tennessee Titans. The line is minus 13 and a half.
Oh, wow.
For the Seattle Seahawks.
So for that Colts game, would I be crazy for going Colts money line?
It's plus 165, so I would say no. I think the Colts are up to something, and they just solidified their corner. So probably going to get Sauce Gardner on Rashi. I think as long as they can hold the middle of the field against Kelce and shove the running game, I think the Colts pull it.
That Seahawks-Titans, that is a lot of points, but the Titans do stink.
Yeah, that game's going to be completely boring. I would just not watch it unless you're a GSN fan.
So skip that one for your own sanity.
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe the New York Giants and Detroit Lions, because I have the Lions blowing them out, but their money line is minus 650, so take it anyways. That's free.
Okay, so that would be part of a parlay then to just that would be a good parlay building block. Is that what?
Yeah, and for reference, like putting your money where your mouth is, I have $5 on this whole parlay to win like $1,500. So,
can you say the parlay for us? Is it just everything that you just read out?
So far, I'm gonna continue just because it is a lot and there's still a decent bit.
Oh, this is all one parlay.
Yes.
Okay. And I like it.
I have the Steelers and Chicago Bears. I have under 45.5 with the Pittsburgh Steelers money line plus 120. So Steelers underdog. The Jets and the Baltimore Ravens. This line was even worse. I took the Ravens at minus 1400 to solidify an extra 14 cents. Taking the Minnesota Vikings plus 6 against the Green Bay Packers. I think that will also be a good 1 o'clock game. And then the Jacksonville Jags over the Cards at minus 3. Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. I'm taking the Saints at minus 130. And then the Rams versus the Bucks. Taking the Rams at minus 320. And to cap it off, which I kind of really like this one, the Carolina Panthers, I'm taking them to cover the spread against San Fran, which is plus 7.
Is that home or away for Carolina?
That's a good question. I think they're away.
Okay.
They're either going to get demolished or they're gonna cover.
Would this be CMC's first chance at a revenge game?
You know what? Yes, and I don't think I thought about that. Because I think he might have been hurt their last time around, or I thought so.
Now going to the Steelers game, the Steelers defense is bad, as we know, and they are on the road. So you said you're going to take the under in this game, which I was a little surprised by. So I have to ask, since you are more plugged in than me, did you get any leaks from the Steelers' wives and girlfriends about any inside information on this game?
Yeah, I was talking to the guys at camp, and a lot of them were talking about the defensive mechanisms that they're putting in place specifically against Caleb Williams. He's got the legs, he's got the speed, and so happily he has the arm. But Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears. So as long as he plays, I think this has a very good chance. If Rudolph is in, I think it's still there, and the under for sure would happen then. So it's kind of like two sides to the coin.
So the Steelers are underdogs in that game, right? Like they were. I think yeah. I saw they were plus
120.
Okay. I would probably take Steelers
only
outright.
2.5. So
okay, I would probably take Steelers outright if Rodgers played, even though I'm on record saying that I'm very impressed with Mason Rudolph's mustache.
It's very impressive, and they need to bring that to the game. Even if he's not playing, he needs to be in that helmet, mustache out, ready to go.
I completely agree. So how many legs is this parlay? Just to make sure, I want to make sure that the people know what to put in so that we can all cash this together whenever it hits.
It's a 10-legger.
It's a 10-legger? Okay.
Yeah, because I left three outs, which I kind of forget. I don't feel like going back in my phone right now, but I did leave three out. But hopefully the whole thing just hits.
I need a stronger reaction than hopefully. I did mention at the top, I am now in some credit card debt, and I was really counting on this to bail me out.
It will, especially with the futures that I'm going to be bringing to you next. And this is where, you know, I'd start bringing in the house, ask Courtney for the credit card. That way we can get the things going.
Okay, lay it on me.
So for the first future, which is the Super Bowl, the top three teams in the odds right now is Philadelphia at plus 500, the Los Angeles Rams at 550, and Kansas City at 800. And then right behind them is the Bills at 850. And I kind of like all four of those. But what I was really feeling when I was looking at this was the Rams at 550.
I like that. I'm surprised to hear the Chiefs are in the top. I'm surprised to hear the Chiefs are ahead of the Bills. But I'm very surprised to hear that they're top four.
Yeah, and to put it in reference to Detroit and Indianapolis are right behind them at plus 1,000.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And for all the homers, Pittsburgh is plus 10,000 to win the Super Bowl.
What is their odds to win a playoff game?
Oh, jeez, I don't even know.
Because I would probably take
that. I would wager like plus 1,000.
Okay. So like it's not even worth it to risk the other side then.
No.
Or is this another freebie?
No, I would not call that a freebie.
Okay.
Moving on to conference. For the AFC champion, it goes the Bills at plus 375, so they're the most favorited. Indianapolis at 425, Kansas City at 450, and then Baltimore at 550. I like the Colts at 425.
All right, so quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Am I hearing this correctly that the Chiefs have higher Super Bowl odds but worse conference odds? How does that work?
You might have a point. Let me see. And this is straight from the books.
That's something I'm curious about. Well,
we were talking about the Super Bowl.
Right, I thought we went to Super Bowl conference champion now.
Yeah. I don't know why it's like that on the books.
You know, that makes me think that there might be some game fixing going on.
But it's a less favorite. It's Kansas City to win the Super Bowl is at 800. For them to at least win the AFC Championship, which would be more likely, right? So lesser odds, they would be at 450.
Yeah,
so it's almost slashed in half.
That part I understand. I'm saying with the teams, because I thought you said that they were ahead of like the Bills for the Super Bowl odds, but then I'm looking at the conference champions at the championship and now they're behind them. That's the part that's confusing me.
They are, and the best part about futures is a lot of times that's not just shifted on how teams are playing. It's really shifted on where a lot of money's being shoved. Right? If the books see all this money coming in early on in the year for Buffalo to win, they're not just gonna make the odds even greater, even if they're in a slight pinch to miss it or to be below another team, they would lose their money, which can happen if you, like Deemer here, is analyzing it and might find a slip in it.
I think that they lose their money all the time when they're, I mean, just based on what you're sending in the group chat, it's a wonder they're even still in business.
Yeah, you should see the ones I don't even send. Just don't want to brag too much.
Okay. So we did that. We went through futures. You said Rams and Colts. I think you said Colts. Did you say Colts for both or just conference?
I'm taking Colts for the conference, which is 425. For reference, Pittsburgh's at plus 3,500.
Okay. I am not going to place any money on that one, even though that would help. That would solve this credit card debt immensely. Okay, and I like the Rams call a lot. That's one I like for the the Super
Bowl. Let's see if we can make you some money in the NFC. Not much different than the Super Bowl. I'm taking the Rams here, but to go down the NFC champion, Philadelphia is favored at plus 250. The Rams then at plus 275. The Lions at plus 550. And then Detroit at... Wait, did I say Detroit already?
I don't think so.
No, they're also at 550.
Would it be worth it to put money on the Eagles knowing that I would have to then root for them with the tush push? Because it's boring and stupid.
It depends. Do you think it gets banned next year?
I do think it gets banned next year.
Okay. Then I would say no.
Okay. That's good because I didn't want to do that. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do when you're...
Do you only not like the tush push because other teams can't get away with exactly how they're doing it?
So I was originally on team only the Eagles can do it. So, like, all the people whining about it's not fair, that's stupid. I think the blame lies on the refs for not being able to call it correctly.
I agree.
But then I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I'm like, well, I know that we hate on the refs a whole lot. Maybe they're just incapable of calling this correctly, which I think is the case, because, you know, they can't call normal plays correctly. How are they supposed to call this jumbled mess of bodies? You know, how are they supposed to spot anything correctly? So that being the case, I am now in favor of banning it because I don't think the referees themselves are capable of calling it correctly, and therefore, if that's the case, then it should be there.
You heard it here first, folks. Jake Deemer, 2026, banning the tush push.
Yes, I was previously team not ban it. Just, you know, the best way to have them to make you got to make them stop by stopping them. No, because the referees are not. Like, they can't even do it. Maybe we were giving them too much of our time, because objectively, that probably is a really hard play to officiate.
I think my favorite tush push is the Steelers when Aaron Rodgers is standing there in the back just watching it happen.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, my favorite Steeler for that. using the force to push his forward. At least Connor Hayward has a spot on the team.
Only because of his brother, but I won't get into that right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I'm just going to make a joke about Cam feeding his family, but I think plenty's been said about that. So we could move on to, I think you have some awards futures here as well.
I have.
Let's get into those.
I have was it the awards? Yes. So, and I really like these ones because it's a lot more player-oriented. Defense one, I might need some help because I only know Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett.
I heard Abdul, maybe Eddie can give us more insight to this. I heard Abdul Carter was sleeping in a meeting.
I heard about that. No, he overslept a meeting and purposely missed it, and he said he didn't. He was getting recovery.
Well, yeah, that's I tried that too.
Yeah, never, I don't believe it.
And it didn't work. So I don't really buy that. I mean the Giants meetings are probably pretty boring, so I mean who can blame him? But
yeah, you need to listen to the season now.
You need to listen to Brian Daboll talk. I'd probably want to miss that meeting too. Sorry, go ahead.
So, for the regular season MVP, I'm going to go with the top five here, which is Matthew Stafford at plus 150, Drake May at plus 185, Josh Allen at plus 500. Give us some Jonathan Taylor at plus 750. We love that. Patrick Mahomes at plus 2200. So, that tells you where everybody else pretty much goes if you're thinking about them. I love Drake May at plus 185. I was actually talking to Nate about this last night. I think the hardest thing for Drake May in it just coming up is, like, can he stay consistent the rest of season? I think if he does, there's no way he doesn't win MVP.
My worry with Drake May at this point would be Ramondre Stevenson is coming back, and how many possessions will he fumble away? Because Mike Vrabel hates Travion Henderson for some reason.
That's very fair. That's fair. But I still like Drake. I still like Drake May. I like what he's doing. I think he's got the stuff. And it's honestly fun to see Matthew Stafford and Drake May at the top for regular season MVP and a lot of the other guys at the bottom.
All right, here's a question for you. So if Stafford's one of your favorite MVP bets, if he wins MVP and the Rams win the Super Bowl, does he retire? Can I bet? And follow up, can I bet on that?
You could probably bet. Great follow-up question. You could probably bet on that on some like third-party market that you see on the internet. Does he actually? I don't think so. I think he's a part of those group of guys that just don't want to put the football down.
So the reason I ask is because I want to say the Rams have someone's pick. I don't remember who it was in the first round. And they might get a fairly high draft pick, potentially to draft Stafford's replacement. Now the fact that I can't name it, I don't know who it is, but I didn't know that. I thought I read that somewhere. So the timing would be good.
Do they do that? Maybe. Would it change his MVP odds? No.
No. Okay. There any other? Sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. So for reference. There's like four or five of these because the last one will be Coach of the Year. But Offensive Player of the Year, this one will be quick. First one's Jonathan Taylor, taking him -375. Nobody else really matters on that list. You got guys like JSN at +280. Christian McCaffrey is at +2200. So for right now, Offensive Player of the Year, this is like the largest spread of odds you'll see in a top three. JT is literally favorited at -375, and then JSN at +280, CMC at +2200. All the other guys, you could take a guess, they are pretty high up in the odds.
Yeah, it feels kind of pointless to bet anybody except for Jonathan Taylor if you're going to bet on anyone.
I've been telling him in the locker room, everybody knows. Moving on to Defensive Player of the Year. This one's pretty easy. Myles Garrett at -300. For reference, TJ Watt is at +10,000. Sad to see. Micah Parsons at +400. And just to mix it up, I would take Micah Parsons at +400. I think he did a really good stamp on Green Bay in the beginning. I think he just now has to finish that way. Does he beat out Myles Garrett? Probably not, but that's why he's at +400.
Myles Garrett, I think, is on track to break the sack record.
Yeah, and I think you're right. In that case, it would get cooked. But it's crazy that the next guy up's +400, Micah Parsons.
Is it still blasphemous to say that like Myles Garrett's actually better than TJ Watt?
No, I think like it's a done deal. And like, I don't think Myles Garrett, like look at our defense. Like I would think that TJ Watt has way more help.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I don't want to, I wouldn't admit it out loud to other people, but
I will admit it. I don't like TJ Watt anymore
after we signed him, it left a bad taste in my mouth with the money. And then I was excited. And then the first couple games happened. And I said, oh man, I think
we're gonna be ruining the day. I think. In the very near future.
I think so too. Going into Offensive Rookie of the Year, we got Egbuka, Dart, and T-Mac. I really liked all three. Egbuka was at +105, Dart's at +200, and T-Max at +550. All pretty close. I really couldn't choose one. I really like all three. I don't think Jackson Dart wins it. I feel like it would have to go to Emeka.
See, I think my favorite out of those ones actually is T-Mac. He's not that far off of Egbuka, and I think he has more momentum coming off of that last game. It's usually about how you finish.
Yeah, and the Panthers have been heating up. But, I mean, it's been – I just feel like that's tough. The odds are actually pretty close, too. So, for reference, Travion Henderson is two more down at plus 1,000 if you're feeling risky.
Boatwright, that one's for you.
Yeah.
I think I like McMillan, actually.
I like it. So lock that in at plus 550, and I think you'll be able to get rid, maybe not all of it, but you might have a good chance of being able to afford a couple extra Christmas presents this year. Actually, this would happen after Christmas, I think. So the following year.
That's okay. I'll just put it on the credit card.
Yeah, I'll just pay it off later.
Yeah. Okay.
I need help with this one.
Okay.
Defensive rookie of the year. I'm going to name the top three. Again, I took Abdul Carter, and he's not even up here. You let me know if you know these guys. If not, I'm moving on to the last piece. Carson Schwenizer. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm also really sick, by the way, so if I sound bad. But
this Carson is JT's flu game.
Schwezinger. That's it. Schwezinger.
That sounds close enough.
And then Nick Amanwori and Jaylon Walker. Jaylon Walker sounds familiar, but I can't.
I don't know.
None of them are lures, so I'm going to move on.
Yeah, I was going to ask, where's our defensive tackle that I can't
place? Derek Harmon?
Yeah, that guy.
He's plus 4,000.
Wow. Yeah,
Trust me, I looked. So there's a chance, but it's far away.
Well, it seems like a bad sign that he's farther down than the guy who was asleep in meetings.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, allegedly, but coach of year. Before I move on, just for you, Jake, just so you know, Mike Tomlin is plus 10,000 to win coach of the year. Mike Vrabel is favorited at minus 120. I don't really care for any of the other coaches besides the two I mentioned, so going with Vrabel.
Vrabel probably shouldn't win just based on how he's bullied Travion Henderson.
Yeah. Yeah, that would...
Because it sets a bad example for the NFL.
And I forgot actually after that I had the last one just because I thought it would be sick. It's comeback player of the year. I feel like you got to take Rashi Rice at plus 6,600.
Who else is in that category?
Comeback player of the year is CMC, favorited at minus 125. Dak Prescott next up at plus 185. Then Aiden Hutchinson from Detroit, plus 850. Stephon Diggs at plus 1,200, which I don't even really know what he's coming back from. Trevor Lawrence, plus 5,000. And then Rashi Rice at plus 6,600. And nobody's been through more than Rashi Rice.
What is Trevor Lawrence coming back from? Like, did I miss something? Was he hurt last year?
Maybe a bad season. Like, I don't know if they're just giving him, like, a pity party.
Rice's odds seem that Rice seems like he has pretty long odds. That almost feels like a lock for McCaffrey.
Yeah, it's definitely a lock for CMC. But if you wanted to have some fun and take a shot on the speedy Rashi Rice, definitely can. And that is ending for the books. That is all I have, and that is all my knowledge for this week and futures.
Okay, so we got some futures, and then we got a 10-leg parlay?
Yeah, I mean, you technically could make it 11. I would not, but...
you would not,
If you want the extra risk, you know, more risk, more reward, you got to phase it in. But I did throw some skin on it. A whole $5 I had to put on my credit card to make sure to see if the slip will hit. And if it does, then we might just have to do this every week.
That is true. Now, just one more chance. I'd maybe check your phone to see if you got texted a tip from a coach or a player And I'm just giving you the opportunity now before we sign off here. If you need to switch, maybe you got a text from Chauncey Billups about somebody starting. But I just wanted to give you the chance that if you had inside information, perhaps illegally obtained, I wanted you to be able to make a switch now.
So the only thing I can say is when I talked about the Panthers at +7 and why even if they are in San Fran, it wouldn't make a difference. That's because a certain player in that game is going to have 2 touchdowns and 125 receiving yards.
Interesting. That sounds like I should double down on that game.
Yeah. It was an inside source from camp themselves. I can't say too much more about it, but just know that.
I mean, I could tell you can't take the fifth year because this is a podcast. I don't think those are the rules, but we'll let it slide. JC, thanks for coming on. And do you have any final words of wisdom for us as we head into this week and dig ourselves out of a financial hole?
To dig yourself out of the financial hole, do not ever bet on if he comes back. BTJ receptions before he left, he actually had the most drops in the league during that time. So stay away from reception bets, probably all of Jacksonville, but mainly BTJ if he comes back.
Yeah, Jacksonville seems like they're, as an offense, they're not terrible, but like you're just unhappy with every single part of it, which is
they're upset with their comeback player of the year somehow being nominated at +1,000 odds.
Yeah, sorry, that was the most fantasy football that we needed to talk. So with that, JC, thank you for coming on and sharing that with us. We will now send it back to your normal hosts for the rest of the season. Unless, of course, this all hits, and then we'll have to do this again. So thank you for listening. We are signing off.